All right, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for singing out. Thank you for doing that. And I took my coat off. I just got ahead of the curve. Just got right ahead of the curve. I was already like, whoo, she's toasty in here. So already did it. But Mark chapter 4 this evening. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Continuing to just kind of let the Lord lead on Sunday nights and kind of preach some messages. It kind of started off with what I told you, just kind of post-it note thoughts and messages that have kind of been in the works, and the Lord's just been kind of leading that way. It doesn't mean that the Sunday night message is any less than the Sunday morning, or there's no emphasis, or God can't use it, but just kind of trying to let the Lord lead and guide and direct in His way. And listen, I like Sunday nights. I don't plan on canceling our Sunday night service anytime soon. And the reason is because, well, it's just us here tonight, but the Sunday morning crowd is often those that come because they feel like it's some kind of duty. And they come and they feel like, well, we've done what we're supposed to do, and if we don't come back, then we've done our duty. But for Sunday night, I know that you're here because you want to be here. And there is a duty. There is a duty to obey what the Lord wants us to do, all right? I'm not just saying that we're making stuff up as we go along, but there is a duty, and the Lord does want us to get together. And the Bible says that we should be gathering together more and more as we see the day approaching. My pastor in New York used to use that verse all the time. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Why? Because, man, this world's getting worse and worse, and we need encouraged more and more. We need to come together more and more and prepare ourselves for what we are going to face outside of these doors and in our lives. And so the Sunday night crowd is a crowd that wants to be here, and it's a blessing. Some of the Sunday morning kind of formality is not there in the Sunday evening. And so I've just been trying to let the Lord lead with what to preach and not have a series or anything like that. So Mark chapter number 4 tonight, this is going to be a little bit unstructured. It's going to be kind of teaching, preaching. We're kind of going down through the verses and preaching, but I want to kind of draw it together here by the end and just kind of show you this principle. I believe it's here in the scriptures. Mark chapter number 4, we're going to start reading in verse 35. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 35. The Bible says, in the same day, when the even was come, that's about 6 o'clock, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He rebuked the wind, and then with that statement, he kind of rebuked the disciples as well. How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless it before we start drawing things out. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the blessings that we have because of it. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Lord, thank you for the many lessons your Holy Spirit has. Lord, that you give all kinds of lessons to your saints, Lord, out of the same passage of Scripture. And I just pray that this would encourage and be a blessing as we prepare for the week and to go forward. And Lord, I pray that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. But thank you for being good to us and help us to praise and thank you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 35, where we started. Of course, this story, a familiar story here of where Jesus is in the boat and he's asleep. And in verse number 35, it says, in the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful when the Lord says to me, let us, him and me, go do something. I like that. Boy, that makes me comforted. When the Lord says, hey, why don't you come with me and let's go do this job, let's go do this thing that I have for you, and he says, let us, I sure feel better when he says, let us, me and you, go forward to the job, because I know he's going to be there with me, and I know that he's there, and I know that he has assigned a job to me that he is going to be there specifically. And of course, he says, hey, put your head in the yoke and let's go forward and let's do the work. But it's a blessing when he says, let us, and then gives you the job to do. And so that's what he tells his disciples. He says, let us pass over unto the other side. So they all get on the boat and they get into the boat and they start to sail away. And there's some other little ships there. And in verse number 37, we know the Bible says a great storm of wind. There arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And so what happens? Well, the wind and the waves come. Do you know the wind and the waves come even when he's in the boat? Even when he says, let us. Now, I'm greatly comforted when he says, let us go and do something. Because then I can just do this. Right? Why? Because he's there. Let us. I can just, well, I'm not sure. Look to him. Look to him. But the storm still comes, even though he's with you, even though when he asks you to do something, he says, let us go and do it. The storms still come, wind still comes, waves still come. And sometimes he's with us, but yet he's asleep in the boat. He's asleep in the boat. And when that happens here, they know that Jesus is with them. They know that all has went well. I mean, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they've all been mad at Christ. And the disciples probably did a lot of, ooh, everyone's against us. And they do a lot of this. They do a lot of looking at him. And what's happened to him so far? Nothing. And they've seen when the Lord's around that the multitudes bring those that are sick, and they bring those that have the diseases, and they bring them all to him. And the Bible says multiple times, and he healed them all. He healed them all. And they were there for that. And they had seen that. They had never went hungry. I know he hasn't multiplied the fish and the loaves yet, but they never went hungry when Jesus was around. And he took care of them. He was there with them. And he was asleep in the boat. His humanity, he needed rest. But this same Jesus was there, and the waves start coming, the wind starts coming, and starts filling in the boat. And it says there was a great storm. A great storm of the wind, and he was asleep on a pillow. And in verse number 38, we know that he's asleep, and they go to wake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I'm also thankful that even though he's with us, and even though that wind and waves might show up when he's with us, that when we go to Jesus, which is a good plan, by the way, when you go to the Lord, he still hears us, even amongst the wind and the waves. He can still hear us. He was asleep, and where is the Lord? But he hears us. He hears us. And it's a blessing to know that when we call out unto the Lord, that he hears us. In any circumstance in life, any situation we find ourselves, we can go to the Lord. And we can take it to him, and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we're his children, he hears us. We're his sheep, and he knows our voice. And we call out unto him, and his ear beckons, and he knows. He knows what we're going through, and he knows what happens, and he knows how strong the wind is. When he wakes up, Jesus Christ wakes up, and he looks at the circumstances. He knows exactly what's going on. And nothing's surprising to him. Jesus Christ doesn't wake up out of his sleep and go, oh, my goodness, I didn't even realize. He's totally calm. He's totally calm during the whole situation. And, of course, We know in verse number 39, the Bible says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still." We know that really all the power is in his word. We know that. It's right here. You're holding it in your lap, hopefully, tonight. You're holding his word in your lap. And what is that? The power is in his word. And what he says, and what does he say to the... He gets up and he says to the wind, he says, "Peace, be still." And of course, what happened? The wind ceases and there was a great calm, the Bible says. But even amongst in the wind, you know what we can do? We can know by his word that he's with us. And he's there, and he hasn't left us, and we have the assurity of his word that even though everything around us might be windy and the waves might be kind of getting a little higher and crashing onto the boat, you know, we can find, because of his word, we can find peace. We can find peace. Now, we can go to stories like this, and we can say, "Lord, I'm having a little trouble, so can you just stand up and calm everything?" Well, he might. He might not. But we can have peace. We can have peace because of his word. Because of his word, not because of how we figure that the storm's going to end or what we think God's going to do. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if the Lord did this? No, we can, through his word, we can have our faith and trust in the Lord. And he can be that calm and he can be that peace. But often, in verse 40, often you probably find yourself in the place of the disciples where he says, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" You have no faith. It's not faith to keep rowing when the water's calm. It takes faith to keep rowing when the wind is moving the waves all around and you feel like you have no control. I mean, I'm assuming most of you have been in a boat before, at some point maybe. But things feel like you got everything under control when the Lord has all of nature at its minimum. But if there's one thing I've learned in life in general, is that when God just decides to move a little wind around, you're not going to do anything. Whether it's being on the Gulf Coast when those hurricanes come in and that wind is whipping around and water and everything else and the surges and all that water that comes in, there's nothing you're going to do about it. You know, whether it's in a rainstorm or a tornado comes around and touches down somewhere and you see it just rip trees out of the ground like nothing. You can see homes being destroyed. I mean, if you've never been near a tornado, you've seen it on the news or somewhere. I mean, it just goes through and tears up everything. What is that? That's just some wind. That's just some wind. Wind gets a hold of the fires when they're going in the forests around here. What's that mean? Trouble. That's what it means. And what are you going to do about it? Well, they can go out and burn strips, and they can dump water, but man, that wind's going, there's not a lot to do about it. It's going to keep going. Man, when God uses and brings up just a little bit of wind from nature, there's not a lot we can do. But he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" And then, of course, in the passage, what happens? They move on. They move on in the scriptures. But turn to chapter 6 with me. Mark chapter 6. Look down in verse number 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that he had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And here we see again, we see something change here. The Lord is using the water and this boat, and he tells them this time, he says, All right, you get in the boat, and you go across, and I'm going to stay here. That's different than the first time. The first time he said, I'm going with you, let's go across. This time he says, All right, you guys go across, I'll catch up with you at some point. And he goes up into the mountain to pray. And what happens? Well, he doesn't say, let us. He says, go to the other side. And in verse 48, we see and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. What happens? The wind comes again. There they are. Two chapters later. And the Lord says, you guys go across. And I'll catch up. And so what do? They get in the boat. And they're in the boat, and they're going to the other side, and the wind kicks up again. But what do we see that's different this time? Well, one thing is, in verse number 48, even though he wasn't in the boat, in verse 48 at the beginning, it says, and he saw them. He saw them. You know, it's also a blessing to know is even if he gives you a job to do, he's still watching. He's still watching. Even if he doesn't say, hey, let us, we're going to go tackle this thing together. And sometimes, man, you can feel the Lord with you so strong and you know what he's told you to do and you can go and do that thing and say, man, praise God, he's with us. But sometimes he says, you go on ahead. Now, I know the Holy Spirit of God's with us at all times. This isn't doctrinal, okay? This is a practical application. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like he's there. Sometimes he's letting us kind of stand on our own and fall on our own. Sometimes he's letting us grow a little bit. But you know what he's doing? He's watching. He's watching. And he says, hey, you guys go ahead. But he was standing on the shore. He was up on the hill, and he was looking down. He was watching them. I'm glad that he keeps an eye on me. I'm glad he just doesn't say, well, see you later. I'm glad he keeps his eye on me. And there's a beautiful song called His Eye is on the Sparrow. And that third verse says, whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There's a comfort in that. There's a comfort in knowing that he's looking and he's paying attention. And if it doesn't feel like he's right there with you at all times, he still has his eye on you. And he still knows what's going on. He's still aware of the wind. He knows what's happening with the wind. He knows that it's pushing around the waves. And he knows when we're feeling uncomfortable. But it's good for us to feel uncomfortable sometimes. It's called faith. And we grow in our faith. If we let the Lord help us, we can grow in our faith. And that's what happens. Because in verse number 48, look what he sees. He saw them toiling in rowing. You see what he found them doing? They were rowing. They kept rowing. What happens the first time? Jesus is right there, and as soon as the waves and they start coming up and crashing into the boat, they just run to him. You know, can you imagine Jesus just asleep there on a pillow? The Bible says, and what happens? They say, Jesus, wake up. And he wakes up, and he sees about 24 eyes staring at him. You know, there is nobody manning the rows anymore. There was nobody bailing water out of the bucket. They all ran right to Jesus and were like, wake him up. And they're all staring at him. We're going to die in here. But this time, you know what the Bible says? He looks at him in that wind. Same scenario, right? The wind comes up. He looks at him. And what are they doing? They're rowing. All right. The Lord said, get to the other side. And they keep rowing. And in this passage here, this is the one where Peter walks on the water. We find that in Matthew, but this passage here that leaves that part out, and he comes walking to them on the sea, and they don't know that it's him right away, and they all get scared because they see a spirit, but it's the Lord, and he comes onto the boat with them, and again, he calms the water. But you know what you find, or you don't find here? You don't find any rebuke for no faith or for little faith. You don't see that. Why? Well, they had matured a little bit. Even if it was just a little bit, the Lord said, go to the other side. You know what they did? They just kept rowing. They just kept rowing. And the wind was still there, and the storm was still there, and the uncertainty was probably still there. But their faith increased enough for them to keep rowing. Just to keep rowing. And if the Lord needed to show up, then he would. If the Lord needed to calm the storm, he would calm it. If the Lord needed to settle the waves down, he would settle the waves down. If it would have been impossible to go to the other side, he wouldn't have said, go to the other side. He would have said, you can make it to the other side. And there was no great victory in self. The disciples couldn't pat themselves on the back and say, we made it. Jesus Christ showed up when things got difficult. Jesus Christ helped them out. Jesus Christ didn't lead them themselves to rely on all their great vast knowledge and wisdom. No, he still came. They still needed the Lord. But we can act by faith and let God show up when he needs to show up. You know what we can do? We can keep rowing. We can keep rowing. If you want a title for the top of your page, keep rowing. That's the title. Why? Just keep going. Keep going for the Lord. Keep rowing on for the Lord. And realize, listen, those other times he was there. Those other times when I needed him, I cried out to him and he woke up. He showed up. He came up and he calmed the sea. And he said, go to the other side. So he's given me a job to do. So what do I do? Lord, I want to do my best. I just want to, by faith, just keep rowing and keep going forward. And why? Well, the Lord has an eye on us. The Lord sees us. He hasn't forgotten about us. And when the wind is contrary, sometimes he shows up. And listen, you don't know how he's going to show up. You don't know how he's going to do the work. I mean, they didn't expect him to show up walking on top of the water. Sometimes, doesn't it feel like the Lord was just kind of showing off sometimes? Watch this. And we know that Peter jumps out and walks on the water, and we're probably familiar with the story. But here Jesus Christ shows up and does something unexpected, and they're still frightened. I mean, these disciples aren't now men of great faith, but they have enough faith to keep rowing and to keep going forward for the Lord. And he shows up. And he shows up when they need him. And they cry out unto him. And what happens? He comes with them and he talks with them. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. Right? And he tells me I am his own. That's a pretty good song. What happens? He gets in the boat. And what does he do? He starts talking to him. He talks to him. And he talked with them and he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Maybe it was right before their faith gave out. Maybe it was right when they had extended as much as they possibly could, and he shows up on the scene. He knows. He knows. He knows your efforts. He knows your little faith. He knows right when to show up. And you know what probably happened next time? Their faith had been increased a little bit more. A little bit more. And walking by faith isn't trying to do it ourselves. It's going forward with what God's given us to do and knowing if he's told me to go, then he'll show up. He'll be right on time. He'll be right on time. He's right on time every time. He says, walk by faith. And you know what he does? You walk by faith and you keep going on by faith. And then right when you think you can't go any longer, the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up to give you strength. The Lord shows up to calm the wind down a little bit. The Lord shows up to say, okay, we've done it. A little bit more growth. You know what it's like with little kids? When they first start taking those first few steps, you set them up and then you say, come on. And you're like from me to the microphone away. And they just kind of go, you know, into your arms. And then you're like, yeah, you did it. They didn't do anything. They were able to stand, and then they kind of fell into your arms. And then they start taking a few more, and you step back a little bit, and you say, come on. You can do it. One parent's holding them, the other parent's, come on, you can do it. And take a couple steps and they fall down on their diaper, you know, and you're like, try it again. That's what the Lord does with us sometimes. It's regulated. The parents aren't like, oh, perfect, you took a couple steps. Here, we'll put you in the middle of the road. Nobody does, no parents, no good parent does that. And what's the Lord do? He allows us to grow. He allows us to grow. Before we know it, we're able to walk in faith with the Lord. And he's got his eye on us. He's got his eye on us. Sometimes we think, man, I got this. And we start off on a dead sprint. And the Lord's like, look out for that. Oh, well. And we look back. Boy, didn't see that coming. The Lord's like, yeah, you got ahead of me there a little bit. But I'm thankful that the Lord keeps an eye on me. And I'm thankful that the Lord allows me to get into some situations where my faith gets strengthened and where I can please him. Lord, this is what you said to do? All right. Onward I go. And I mean, that sounds bold. It's not always that bold. It's sometimes like, really? Okay, you sure? All right, I'll do it. Just checking. Right? One more verse out of the Bible for me to feel comfortable to do this next thing, if you wouldn't mind. One more person to come up and give me this, to give this mention to me that I'm just to be sure that I'm doing the right thing. No, it's not always great faith. But you know what you and I can keep doing? We can keep rowing. We can keep rowing. Say, okay, Lord. Okay. The trial of their faith in chapter 4 grew their faith to chapter 6. And what happens? The Lord blesses it. The Lord blesses it. Man, I get tired of hearing, why do you have no faith? You ever get tired of hearing that? The Lord says, does something, puts something there. Why do you have no faith? I get tired of hearing that. I'm like, man, next time, I'm just going to put my faith in the Lord. And then I won't have to hear. At least I might not hear, you did great. But at least I might not hear, why do you have no faith? And in chapter 6, no rebuke. No rebuke. He saw him. He looked at him and said, look at him rowing out there. Look at those men. They're all grown up now. I mean, the Lord saw him. And he goes up into the ship and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. And wondered at what the Lord had done. And that's what you and I should do. We exercise our faith a little bit and the Lord comes and does something for us and we should say, wow, he did it again. Beyond measure, the Lord did it. I tried my best, about to make a mess of it. The Lord came in and saved me from myself and thank you, Lord. The Lord came in when my faith was almost exhausted and guess what happens? We made it to the other side. We made it to the other side. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing to be able to keep rowing for the Lord. And that's what you and I should do. And ask him. Say, Lord, help me to keep rowing. Lord, help me. I've seen this story before. Yep, more wind, Lord. Yep, there's some waves crashing around. Lord, help me to keep rowing. Help me to keep trusting in you and not go backwards and not to just throw the oars overboard and say, I can't do it. Ask him to increase your faith. And to keep rowing. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight.